I'm Katie Clark. This is The World. So in our geo quiz, we asked you to figure out the distance between Cuba's capital, Havana, and the town of Guantanamo. The answer is about 500 miles. Author Richard Fleming is familiar with the route. He traveled from the city of Pinar del Rio near Cuba's western tip all the way across to Guantanamo in the east. It took him 4 months by foot and also by donkey cart, tractor, taxi, train, bus, and bicycle. And he's written a book about the experience. It's called Walking to Guantanamo. Fleming's trip was in 2000, before the U.S. Navy base on Guantanamo Bay became a detention facility for enemy combatants and terrorism suspects. But he says even then he had Guantanamo in mind as his destination.
For me, it represented all of the acrimony that exists in the U.S.-Cuban relationship, all the problems between Cuba and America.
Fleming's book has just been published. He says the idea of crossing Cuba by foot seemed natural to him, but not Cubans.
Honestly, people thought it was absurd. They thought it was absurd that I was walking.
Nobody does that sort of thing?
Nobody was walking, and I had originally had the idea in my head that because of the difficulties of transportation in Cuba, that lots of people would be walking, and that it would be a great way to meet and have a sort of an in-depth conversation with people. Instead, people thought really that I was kind of a nut job. So they would sort of wave to me as I walked by, and then they would kind of giggle while they were waiting for a bus, you know, that might take hours to come or might even never come. But so that's one of the reasons why very soon I decided to take advantage of some of the other transportation options.
And it didn't take you very long to get to that point. The very first line in chapter 3 is, walking is for losers.
Well, yes, I have to admit that I sold out very, very quickly. At first, you know, I go on a horse and buggy, and then I get a bicycle, and then before long, I'm actually getting some motorized transportation.
Well, I was surprised how easy it was for you most of the time anyway to find places to spend the night, and people just seemed willing to help you out all the time. How typical is that in Cuba, and how typical was that of your experience, or were those just the good experiences that made their way into the book?
A little to a degree, but I have to say the hospitality of the people that I met along the way was truly overwhelming. It was amazing how friendly people were to me. Almost never did I encounter someone who thought that because I was American, I was an enemy. Everybody related to me as an individual, and most people went out of their way to help me.
One of the recurring themes in the book, it's the role Miami and the North play in the imagination of the Cuban people. And many of the people you met had entered that lottery to get a visa to come to the United States. How would you describe most Cubans' feelings towards the U.S.? Is it kind of a love-hate relationship?
I think describing it as a love-hate relationship very much sums it up. The government in Cuba is constantly hammering Cubans with a kind of anti-American, anti-Miami propaganda, which has a certain amount of traction. But people who have cousins or uncles or mothers-in-law in Miami are receiving often a monthly check, or some money is coming back, and that really makes an enormous difference. So there's a really big conflict in the Cuban imagination about what Miami is. It's the source of all evil, and it's also a kind of Shangri-La, and that can even be in different moments for the same person.
Now, the book is not overtly political. You went to Cuba because you had an interest in bird watching, Cuban music, and religion. But I suppose any book about Cubans and the way they live can't help but be political in some way. After going through this experience, what did you come away with in terms of your understanding of the Cuban political system and whether or not it works?
Unfortunately, I think I was disabused of my socialist notions. I mean, I really felt that the system was not functioning very well. Most everyone that I met loved Cuba, but they felt that the government and the bureaucracy was against them and trying to hold them down or prevent them from accomplishing anything. So I think I went with some rose-colored glasses on, and by the end, I pretty much had to take them off.
Well, one aspect of Cuban culture which made a huge impression on you, it seemed, was the music there. And you describe it as the maximum expression of the fertile collision between Africa and Europe. Talk for a moment about the music you heard on your travels across Cuba.
Well, I was a big fan of Cuban music before I went, and then I heard new things that were completely, entirely new to me. So I spent time in Matanzas, which is known as the home of the rumba. And by the time I got to Santiago, I was even more enamored of the son, which is the country mountain music that became better known in this country as the source of the mambo and salsa. But everywhere you go, people are playing music, and when you're invited into someone's home, the evening after dinner is quite likely to end with someone pulling out a guitar and playing some music for you. And that was what I really loved, that it was just so common in everyday life, something that I miss very much in the United States, where I think television has sort of killed that tradition of family music making, and it persists in Cuba. And that is what is really wonderful.
Is there one bit of music that you could maybe give us that sort of sums up your whole experience of walking across Cuba, and we'll play out with that?
There's an artist for me that when I listen to him, the nostalgia for the voyage always rushes back to me, and that is Polo Montañez, who was the soundtrack to the trip. He died, unfortunately, a few years ago in a car accident, but his songs are the essence of the way that I like to remember Cuba and my journey.
Well, thank you so much. Richard Fleming's new book is Walking to Guantanamo. It was a pleasure to read, and it was a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Soy un guajiro normal, que vengo del monte Cimarrón. Soy un guajiro normal y que vengo del monte Cimarrón. Sé cuál es mi posición, yo sé cuál es mi lugar.
Aunque yo sea guajiro natural, no te equivoques. Aunque yo sea guajiro natural, no te equivoques.
Music from the late Polo Montañez ends our program today. The song is called Guajiro Natural. And you can see photos from Richard Fleming's walk across Cuba at theworld.org. The World is produced in the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH. I'm Katie Clark. Thanks for being with us.
Puedo montar un avión si me tengo que montar. Puedo montar un avión.